I'm Jeremy Barron, and this is Colt Gennaro Chat, the only weekly English language podcast dedicated to Europa League winners, Atletico Madrid, and the official podcast of Into the Calderon, SB Nation's home for all things Atletico. The three-man pod returns. My guests on this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat are Into the Calderon staff writer Rob Walker and managing Madrid staff writer and podcaster Gabe Lezra. Rob Walker and Gabe Lezra are the guests on this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat. We're talking all things UEFA Super Cup. We will analyze this massive fixture to the death, which in our case is about 40 minutes. All the banter you can handle, plus lineups, tactics, and answers to listener questions from Twitter and patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat. I don't want to delay this any further, but before we dive into the show, make sure to subscribe and listen to all new and archived episodes of Colt Gennaro Chat on your favorite podcasting platform. That goes for you, Apple Podcast listeners. Make sure to leave a rating and a review. It really helps us out. We'd greatly appreciate it. Finally, head over to patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat. From as little as $3 a month, you can become a Colt Gennaro Chat amigo, get guaranteed answers to your questions, access to the bonus pods, and a lot more. patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat. We'll be back with Rob Walker and Gabe Lezra after this. Woo! We are here. Super Cup banter. Rob, Gabe, welcome to both of you.
What's up, man?
Howdy.
Gabe, it's been a while.
I'm happy to be back.
Since we've had you on the show. I've been looking forward to this. Super Cup is less than 3 days away. Woo! I'm excited. I can tell you I'm excited.
Crucial. Nervous. Absolutely crucial moment in the season. I'm so glad to be here to break it all down.
Rob, let's start with you. How you feeling as we rapidly approach kickoff Wednesday in Estonia?
Feeling good. This feels better than any of the International Champions Cup nonsense been going through the last few days. It feels exciting. Always good for a derby, especially when it's in a random place like Eastern Europe.
Sure, why not? In a former Soviet republic, sure.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a real game if it's not in Eastern Europe.
It's true. I'm so excited that Estonia is finally hosting a game. It's really cool. I didn't even know that they had a stadium there.
Exactly. The Lecoq Arena, as it says on Wikipedia.
That's
so
right.
I'm really excited for a game played in that stadium.
It's a very Estonian surname.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. It's actually named for Francis Coquelin, I believe. I believe you'll find.
Sure it was. Sure it was. Yeah, it's gonna be surreal to see a Madrid derby in front of about 10,000 people, give or take.
Yeah, that should be a lot of fun. I'm sure the Estonians are gonna be really thrilled about that.
I was about to say it'd be really cool to see like how many all of the like five people on the Estonian supporters club total five people both and Atleti like both
combined.
They all go to the same bar to watch the game.
Gabe, how are you feeling entering Wednesday's crucial tilt?
I'm all right. I mean, like, this has been such a weird offseason for Real Madrid. Like, just, like, they didn't give us, as the supporters, any time to celebrate. Everything just kind of exploded. They normally do. But normally, like, you get, a week to just kind of sleep and not worry about it. But, of course, like, this year, it's like every single day there's been some new disaster or like some new huge thing that everyone is falling over their over their feet trying to like report on and break a new story or whatever.
Yeah, the latest in that regard has been the whole Luka Modric situation, which it seems like it's been resolved somewhat, right? It seems like Modric is going to renew his contract.
Yeah, that's sort of the belief. I mean, like, it doesn't make that much sense. Like, he was so good over the last couple of years. It doesn't make sense to cut ties with him now because he's not that – like, he's really not that old. He's clearly playing at a really high level. And there isn't, like, this with Ronaldo, I think the thing was, like, everyone wanted him to have a good kind of ride out into the sunset for Real Madrid. So, like, when he was like, yeah, I kind of want to go, I don't think there was that – insistence that they fight with him to keep him around because he's such a big ego and such a big personality that having someone like him so like upset in any regard can just tank an entire season. So, but with Luka Modric, I mean, like, it wasn't clear that he even he wanted to go exactly. There was no evidence to me that he had made one of those like requests to leave the club. And it was just like a lot of hot air being blown up everyone's asses by the Italian media. I don't know if I can swear on that. I've been getting a lot of shit on our Managing Madrid show. People in the comments, like hall monitors, telling me not to swear.
You're good. You're good here.
You're allowed to swear in the Atletico corner. All
right. It's more fun. Swearing is cool. That's one of the cool things about being an adult.
The shit's cool.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. We allow swearing around these parts.
But it's been, as you said, a very weird, very strange summer, starting not only with Cristiano leaving at last, but Zidane taking his leave as well, and Lopetegui coming in.
Yeah, and it's I mean, Lopetegui is a fascinating signing. No one really expected it. And then the whole way it all blew up for Spain at the World Cup. It's been a real weird one. And, like, I mean, what is really cool, I mean, as a Real Madrid fan, is seeing how I think really well Atletico has done this summer. I think it's been a really strong offseason for Atletico. And so then you're looking at Real Madrid where, like, half the team is leaving. You're like, that's cool, like, Griezmann is staying in Atleti, and they, like, you're signing Thomas Lamar, which is a great signing. Like, this is really cool. Like, everyone's having a great normal one in Madrid.
Yeah, it's been a very fascinating summer in the capital for both sides. The additions that Atletico made, the losses that have been incurred by Real Madrid. But you guys made a big signing of your own last week. One of Atletico's former stalwarts.
Crucial.
A certain
really important
Thibaut Courtois. Yeah, because you already have Keylor Navas.
Right. I mean, to be fair, I actually like the signing. I think I'm like one of the seven people online that kind of like it. I like it because I think he's actually is really good, and also that Madrid were so, like, harmed last season and the season before whenever Navas got injured, because the truth is that Kiko Casillas is just not at the level. Like, he looked so bad in the preseason also. Like, the one International Champions Cup game he was in, he was just terrible. So it reminded everyone, like, actually, this is probably a fine signing.
Our Colchonero chat amigo Sporting Gijon has a couple questions for you, Gabe. He's wondering, A, what happens to Navas now that Courtois signed, and B, who do you see getting more opportunities to shine and fill the void left by Cristiano Ronaldo?
That's a great question. I think Navas is sticking around. I think that's the belief, is that the reason that they're bringing in another keeper is because that Madrid's second keeper was actually one of the big holes in the roster. And so they're going to let him fight for it, and whichever one is playing better is probably going to start. I actually could see a real rotation there, which is not obvious to me that that's the ideal thing. Normally you want to have a 1 and 2, but it looks like to me there'll be a 1A and 1B sort of situation. And with respect to Cristiano, I have no idea. They're definitely going to let Asensio run, though, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the things about Lopetegui is that he has this really good relationship with all of these young Spanish players. And so my guess is that we'll see a lot more of all of them. And also, I mean, everything that we've seen from Vinicius Jr. in this preseason has been exciting. I don't know how much we'll see of him this year, but I do think that he probably will have a role on the team, which is really different from what we all expected when he came over from Santos. The kind of belief was that he was going to be loaned out, but he actually has shown a lot more quality than I expected already, which is pretty exciting.
Yeah, individually, he's really an exciting player. Just watching the little bit of him I've watched, it seems like there's a lot of talent inside there. And again, this young players that Lopetegui is going to just bring through it. It's been interesting that Real Madrid took a very measured response to someone as big as Cristiano leaving. They've just been very comfortable giving these minutes to younger players.
Ceballos. I don't have any idea what I'm watching right now. This does not remind me of the Real Madrid that I've watched my whole life. Like, this kind of stuff normally, like, in every other era, and since I've been alive and watching this team, would have led to some huge signing. And it just is not clear to me that's going to happen. I think they really believe that they actually have a core of young players that they believe are world class and will develop into a world class team if they just give them the minutes, which is amazing. That's like what all of the internet people and all of us want, but it's not what I expected the team to do.
Meanwhile, Rob, Atletico finished 17th in the International Champions Cup table.
Oh, yes, big warning signs coming up ahead of the season when you're playing mostly youth players in a terrible preseason tournament. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's actually seems like a smart decision for Real Madrid to actually sort of lean on their younger players and hire a coach that seems to want to actually play the younger guys, unlike Zidane at sometimes in past. So that's pretty good. But, no, Atletico have also kind of done the opposite in terms of signing high-profile players as opposed to Real Madrid, who kind of haven't.
Question from at Jungle Sounds on the Twitter machine. How do you rank all of the Atleti attackers, so center forward, wingers, attacking midfielders, including the new signings, and who do you see them running out against Real in this match?
Well, it seems like Diego Costa is probably up to full fitness at this point. I'm not sure if it's we're at the point where Griezmann is going to be ready to start. But you sort of feel like Thomas Lemar and Gelson are probably going to be ready for this match as well. So it'd be interesting to see if they play, and how Correa has gotten a bunch of minutes in preseason. So I could see him starting as well. So that would probably be the four I think will start. But I think the best lineup is obviously Costa, Griezmann, Lemar, and probably Gelson. If you're talking about two strikers and two wingers.
I see this going one of two ways. Yeah, let's just talk about our lineups and where we, how we think the Simeone and or Burgos and Lopetegui are gonna set up for this one, because Simeone is still suspended, which is ridiculous.
Oh yes, lest we forget.
Yes, he's suspended for the Super Cup and I think the first two Champions League group stage games as well, which is just absurd.
He's so cool. I'm such a fan of his.
And well, that was from the Arsenal match, right?
Yes, when it was. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Shime Versalico.
Yes, that was great. Thank you. Enjoy your time at Inter. It was totally worth it.
And the referee whose name I can't remember. I think I blocked it out. There's two ways I see this going. The first way is that Griezmann convinces Simeone that he should be starting, and Griezmann starts. In which case, I see Costa and Griezmann with Lemar behind them, Koke and Saul in the middle of a diamond, and then Rodri or Tomas, preferably Rodri, at the base of it. Simeone's talked a lot this preseason about seeing Lemar through the middle. He thinks he's at his best through the middle. And my concern with that is that he would occupy a lot of the space that Griezmann likes to occupy, that Griezmann has occupied for years. So in that case, Simeone might intend to just take some of those playmaking duties off Griezmann's shoulders and have Lemar just take them on. And you set up an indictment, Lemar would just ping in passes toward Costa and Griezmann, finally act as, or Atletico would finally have that link between midfield and attack, that number 10 that they've been crying out for so long. The other option is that Griezmann does not start, that Simeone decides that he should be on the bench, and you see a lineup very similar, if not exactly the same, as the one that played against Inter on Saturday. So that would be Oblak in goal, Jimenez and Godin as the center backs, Felipe and Juanfran as fullbacks, and then you just have a three-man midfield, Koke, Saul, and Tomas, with Lemar and Correa on either side of Diego Costa.
So I think that's probably reasonable in terms of the lineup. I wonder if at some point we'll see Arias, because it sort of seems like he was meant to be the starting right back, so this may be a good time to give him a run out in a not-so-serious game. But
this is very we'll see serious, what happens Rob. On that front. Very serious business.
Yeah, yes. I love the idea of playing, because this is like the first match in a long time where anyone's going to be even approaching 100%. So I love the idea of playing like younger players in like even for a few competitive minutes, because it's not that, like, this is not a particularly serious game, but it is one that everyone's going to be actually trying to win, which is more than I can say for most of the ICC games.
You're right.
So, like, running out some of the kids in these matches is actually a perfect idea. I mean, personally, my guess is that Lopetegui will probably just run out basically that same kind of constellation of players that they've been running out all the time since for the last few years. But I think it's also possible that he'll try to experiment and bring in some of the kids. And I'm not entirely sure. I mean, the for Madrid, they ran out that kind of classic 4-3-3 with Benzema and Bale, and it was Asensio stepping into the Cristiano Ronaldo role against Milan in the incredibly important Champions Cup that they won. No, the Trofeo Bernabeu, which they won on Saturday. Crucial, important game. If you're going to throw, to be fair, if you're going to throw a huge like celebration of your own team, you better win the match. Like, that is actually pretty important. But yeah, so that's sort of my guess. But I think it's also possible that he'll run out one of the different things that he's been thinking over the preseason. I mean, we even saw one of the things that I've been most excited about is that he experiments with a false nine. And I actually think this is a Madrid lineup that is desperately crying out for a false nine. And we've seen Asensio and Isco play there.
Gabe, you mentioned Asensio, and the BBA is starting to become a thing in the Madrid papers. What have your early impressions been of Asensio kind of stepping into the Cristiano role? And
I think he is the real deal. I mean, we've known for a while he's the real deal. I think the question that I think he's probably going to answer this season is whether he has the goal-scoring chops to kind of step up and be able to consistently produce goals. And if he can, Madrid are going to be in a great position moving forward because of how young he is and how big of a hole and a void that fills. Now, I'm not sure. I'm hopeful that Lopetegui is a slightly more tactically nuanced coach than Zidane. So, like I said, I think that running out a false nine from time to time will really shake things up in the way Madrid creates. I think they've been better. I also think that what we've seen with Asensio is that he still is developing a nuanced understanding of how to press, which is going to be really important in Lopetegui's system, because Madrid's going to get caught out on the counterattack if they can't execute their press most of the time.
Yeah, I noticed this preseason kind of different what Lopetegui's been doing with the higher pressing. Not as many crosses into the box as there were in the Zidane era as well, which was a point of contention among Madridistas.
Always going to be down from that era, probably. Yeah. To the most crosses. I've never seen a team quite as... I mean, like, it's one of the cool things about this Madrid team from the last couple of years is they are, like, amazingly, shockingly successful by bringing back an attacking style that reminded me a lot of, like, 90s English football. It's just whipping in crosses to the dude who can jump in the middle.
Yeah, and also Rob and I have asked this before, but how do you see Madrid replacing all those goals from Cristiano?
You can't do it with just one person, right? Like,
you can't. It's not possible.
I'm of the opinion that what's going to happen is Madrid is going to have to tighten up on defense, and maybe they concede fewer, which allows them to score slightly fewer. That's kind of my gut.
That, yeah, like Rob said, you can't replace those goals, so you have to change somehow.
Yeah,
does that exactly mean not playing Sergio Ramos?
Ayo.
Does that what they're defending a little bit more difficult?
Ayo.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, Ramos is, he is not, I mean, he's one of these players who's such a, he's such a randomly clutch player where he just kind of stands up and does, you know, incredibly important, crucial things, but then he also just, like, everyone absolutely hates him, especially, like, after the Liverpool match where he has those, like, moments where he kind of goes in harder than maybe a reasonable person would, given the situation.
Hey, Klopp is still talking about it.
It's kind of a gamble because, like, there's maybe, even if it's only 70% of the time he's going to be fine, there's a 30% chance he's getting a direct red card for one of those challenges. And he just, like, keeps flipping that coin somehow, and it keeps coming up with not getting a red card in these huge matches.
Yeah, let's make a wager on that. Will Sergio Ramos get a red card in the Super Cup?
In one game. It's always, you never know. It really is a coin flip.
Really? It really is 50-50.
Well, the reason I ask that is because, I think Jesus Vallejo is quite good. Mm. So, I mean, at some point, Sergio Ramos, I mean, he is a bit of a liability defensively, but as you say, he's, like, stupidly clutch for no good reason.
He will just show up in the biggest matches and just play, like, incredibly well, and then he'll, like, get sent off in the next match. That's who he is.
Right. He'll get sent off against Espanyol or something.
Right. Yeah exactly. He'll go to like Girona or whatever and get a you know, punch someone in the face and get suspended. But the good news is that, I mean, for Madrid is that I totally agree. But Yehu is, it does seem to be the real deal. Like he is, if he can just, he's got some of these early career injury issues. And the question now is whether he becomes, kind of gets over them the way Varane sort of has, or whether he kind of succumbs to them and is always just a constant injury risk. And I don't know what's going to happen with that because he seems to have all of the right defensive instincts. I think he's already, but he's getting, he has definitely has the potential to be a better pure defender than Ramos even. So I just, I'm a little worried about it because he does seem to constantly have these muscular issues. So maybe it's just that he's growing and he's still a kid, but I'm worried about it. That's like the one thing. And that's why a lot of Madrid, you know, the Madrid media isn't really covering it, which is good because they are famously regular. But like there's a lot of talk around the Madrid circles that they need another center back.
Yeah.
Just because of Vallejo's injury issues.
Rob, we've kind of had that experience, still have to a degree with Jose Jimenez.
Yes.
And last season, Jimenez finally kind of overcame those injuries and really firmly established himself as Diego Godin's partner.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think this season we'll probably see him as the starter. We sort of envision that, and it's more likely that Lucas is going to start at left back, whether we like it or not. But yeah, it may be just one of those things where Vallejo needs time to sort of grow into his body or whatever. But Jimenez took a while in order to stop getting these kind of niggly injuries and then stop making kind of stupid childish mistakes. Yeah. So it can't be worth it if you get there in the end. But, you know.
Right. And we saw, like I said, with Varane also, who's now, you know, turned himself into a incredibly, incredibly good defender. There was always this belief that he would, but he was another one of these guys. Just like every like other week, it's like, oh, Varane has like a, you know, a, it's going to keep him out for the next week and a half with a calf issue. It's like, really? He just came back from a calf issue. So,
And Varane is very much the same way, and he's an excellent defender, but it just sort of depends if he can stay fit as well. So you don't really want to see Nacho back in there for many games this season.
A lot of people do. That's one of the weirder ones.
Really?
For me. I really rate Nacho as a really useful, like, swingman type, like, my guy can play every single position other than keeper, basically. But, like, I don't want him starting tons of minutes. And if Madrid look back on this next season and they see Nacho with, like, you know, 1,500 minutes or whatever, it's going to be a miss. It's going to be probably indicative of a bad season.
I swear.
Almost certainly.
I swear, if Stefan Savage plays more than about 1,500 minutes this season, I'm going to lose it.
Same sort of deal there, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah, Savage, out of the four Atletico center backs, he's the fifth.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We'd rather see a youth player in there than Savage at this stage.
But Rob, you brought up earlier Lucas versus Felipe at left back. That's something that we've talked about, and it does look like Felipe is going to start this game at left back. It's really strange that Lucas starts for his national team and wins the World Cup at left back, but Felipe, for now, is still ahead of him.
Yeah, it's a weird one. I mean, I've always felt this, and you know this, Jeremy, that Lucas is a center back rather than a left back. However, clearly he won the World Cup as a left back, so he's not bad at it. But I still think that would be his preferred position. And I know that Felipe has been excellent, but the sort of reality is he had a very nasty injury last season and is still kind of coming off that, and we don't quite know where he's at physically, because when he came back towards the end of last season, he didn't totally look right. So we're sort of waiting to see on Felipe. I guess that's sort of an open question right now, who's going to start at left back long term this season. If Felipe's good, then that's fine, but I think Lucas will certainly have a claim to stake.
Do you see Lucas as sort of a long-term replacement for Godin?
I think
I would. I've always wanted Lucas and Jose Jimenez to be the partnership, personally.
Yeah, I think Lucas is definitely the Godin replacement. But Godin is still good, so you can't really drop him. And he's the captain now, with Gabby gone.
Right.
That's another thing that I think this game will go a long way toward telling, is what Atletico's leadership structure is going to be like now without Gabby there and without Torres there. Godin's the captain. Marca ran a report just this afternoon, actually. Godin's going to be the captain. Koke, the second captain. Griezmann, the third captain. And Juan Fran, the fourth captain.
I guess from the sort of perspective that Juan Fran is old and will probably not be with Atletico beyond this season, that sort of makes sense. And I don't know what sort of politics went on behind the scenes with the whole Griezmann renewal thing. Maybe that's something he wanted to happen, but
would not surprise.
We shall see. It's certainly a big void to fill, particularly with Gavi, because he's sort of been the embodiment of this team for the last, what, 4 or 5 years at least.
Yeah.
So it'll be tough, but you know, Godin is excellent, and Koke is really the one I think has to step up in terms of leadership.
For both of you guys, who name one, possibly a surprise player who can really either come off the bench or from the start, who you may not think will play a huge role in this game, but actually will. One surprise player, both of you.
You want to go first, Rob?
Sure.
let you go first.
Thanks, I appreciate it. I'll go for my guy, Thomas Partey, just because I love him more than life itself. So I'll have him coming off the bench for Rodri and scoring from a bazillion miles away, hey, just because I love him to death.
So I don't know whether, like, for example, someone like Vinicius really counts for this question. So I'm gonna give like one of the players that's been sort of a revelation in this preseason, who's not as much talked about, and that's Reguilón, who's been actually was so good in this preseason. He's Madrid's Castilla left back that he sort of supplanted Teo, who I'm a huge fan of still, as the Marcelo backup going into the season. And I wouldn't be that shocked to see him in this match, actually, because Marcelo is still kind of getting up to speed. I mean, he's incredible. He's my buddy, my husband. I love Marcelo so much. But Reguilón is a player to keep your eyes on long term, because there have been, you know, a little bit of muttering about whether it's towards Marcelo's end of his career, even though he feels like he's been around forever, but he is actually still quite young because he came to Madrid at 17 or whatever. I think there's definitely possible that Reguilón gets into this match. I think it's also possible that someone like Dani Ceballos comes on and plays. I think that Lopetegui is, you know, absolutely loves him, loves Marcos Llorente. These, like, both of those, that kind of axis of the of that U21 team that he coached. So any one of those guys could definitely be a game-changing player, especially like in this match, whatever it may be, but definitely over the course of the season, I think you're going to see a lot more of these kids that I think a lot of people thought either was going to go out on loan or going to be sold off because Zidane just didn't seem to know how to get the best out of them.
Mm-hmm. Next question, Rob, this one for you. We'll start with you. Key matchup in the Super Cup, other than Sergio Ramos versus Sanity.
Yeah, that's always a solid matchup. But I think probably one of the more interesting ones will probably be if Asensio plays on the wing against potentially Juan Fran at right back. I think it'll be interesting to see how Juan Fran copes, because over last season you and I kind of lamented many times that Juan Fran is slow as bejesus, even though he did outpace Ronaldo that one time.
Yes, I still had a screenshot.
And that was our cover photo on Twitter for quite some time.
It was. But, nice. It was a great moment.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Juan Fran handles whatever winger goes up against him, because at the very least they'll have pace, and Juan Fran do know have that.
Yeah, either essentially.
But I think that, I guess, the way Madrid has been switching up, I think that we can also talk about the other wing with Bale and Felipe or Lucas would also be a crucial matchup. And if Bale and Asensio do continue to switch like they have been, it's possible that they will try to work it over to that left to kind of go at Juan Fran, see how that's going. But it's that, and then I think there's also obviously going to be a big battle in the center of the midfield. And I'm not sure how up to speed Casemiro is right now, and so that could be an area of weakness for Madrid. He just seems a little bit out of shape. So it could be that Madrid will be a little vulnerable in areas that maybe they wouldn't be normally, because Casemiro is such an engine in defense.
Is this the match where Casemiro gets a red card?
I don't think so. I don't understand Casemiro. It's impossible, because he's such a, you know, strong, you know, really incredibly smart defender. I just, every time he goes in, I'm like, holy crap, that's got to be a card. And they do it on, they show it on replay, and it's like, oh my God, it's just a perfect tackle.
Yeah, it really is a gift.
That's one way of putting it.
He's going to have a very interesting, just to follow up, he's going to have a really interesting role this season, I think, Casemiro, because he, so one of the things that people don't really know that much about Lopetegui before he became Spain coach, but he did coach Casemiro at Porto.
He did.
And under Lopetegui at Porto, Casemiro had much more of an offensive role than he developed under Zidane. So it could be interesting to see whether Casemiro really does kind of take more of a, more of a participation, is more of a participant in the offense for Madrid rather than being more of a destroyer type. And that could be a fascinating, you know, trend to watch this season, if he kind of reverts to that. And we saw a little bit against Milan with Kroos actually kind of playing in a single pivot with Casemiro kind of pushing up as a right center mid, which is an incredibly strange thing to watch. And I'm not sure that's exactly what's going, like, there's going to be a plan tactically. And if it was maybe just more Casemiro being out of shape and not really being able to run as much, but it's an interesting storyline to follow. I think.
Do Madrid need to bring back Lucas Silva to play defensive midfield?
Oh, never wow! Has. Oh wow!
The legend.
Yup, Tom.
Yeah, there we go.
for me, the goalkeeping battle is gonna be really good to watch. It's always fun to see Oblak versus Navas. Last year, we were treated to that matchup twice. Both goalkeepers made incredible saves in the league derbies, particularly in the second one in April at the Bernabeu. Assuming Navas starts, he can't not start. Courtois was just introduced this week, so it's going to be Navas. So that will be exciting. Gabe, do you think Navas is going to be the cup keeper this year? And Courtois will just play the league games?
I am still really just unsure of how they're gonna distribute playing time. I think it's possible that I do think that it's gonna be something like that. I think the real question is whether they're gonna try to rotate even in the Liga. I think that now will probably depend a little bit on whether they get knocked out of the Copa early.
Question from Mike at mcurley89. Do you think Atleti's new pace and attack will be the difference against a Real Madrid side that may not be able to defend counterattacks so well?
I think so. I think it could be. And like I said, I think it might be that Madrid are struggling a little bit with their fitness right now. I mean, I didn't feel like they were really up to game pace right now, especially against such a fast Atleti attack. So I definitely think that could be. I think it's also possible that Madrid's pace could be do the same exact thing, though. So I don't really know whether it's going to be one or the other. But I mean, as a Madrid fan, like, I'm worried a little bit about the way Casemiro looked, especially, like I said, because he's you kind of run for 90 minutes, cover all the territory on defense, and he snuffs out so much of the of those counterattacks that without him at 100%, I think Madrid will be really vulnerable.
Yeah, I think it'll be an interesting matchup on both ends. I think Atleti certainly have a little bit less pace in terms of Godin and potentially Juan Fran in defense, and we don't really know how fast Felipe is anymore, but he might still be fast. We don't know. I think it'll be certainly interesting to see the counterattacking, because Atleti will certainly play that way. And they could take advantage of a slightly tired Madrid team, though, sort of based on some of the performances we've seen this week in the Premier League and elsewhere. Teams seem like the recovery time from the World Cup may have been a little bit overstated in terms of guys still being tired or whatever. So
it may come down to just who has more horses in the stable, you know, in the 60th, 70th, 80th minute, because Atletico could have one or all of Correa, Lemar, Gelson on the bench, maybe even Griezmann on the bench. It's pretty deep well of substitutes to draw water from, so it could come down to who has more in the tank after 60, 70 minutes, and I think that could go Atletico's way, but we'll see what the lineups are. It really depends on how these managers start.
Yeah, it's really strange after so many years of Real Madrid just having an incredibly deep team, where this team, they still are pretty deep, but their depth is really related to these youngsters and these people who are like, Dani Ceballos just turned, you know, 22. I mean, that's these are the players that Madrid has on the bench. So it's not I don't think the bench poses, you know, strikes as much fear as maybe back when it was like, oh, and they can take off, like, bring James or, like, even Isco off the bench. Now it's just going to be like, well, can, you know, Vinicius come on and make a difference with his pace, or could Dani Ceballos come on and provide a moment of brilliance? And it's not they're not the world-beating stars yet, because they are young and they have a lot of talent, but yet.
Or Keon's favorite, Marcos Llorente.
Hell yeah, Marcos Llorente. Marcos Llorente has finally, this is one of the interesting things, is all these people hated on him so much, but this season I think he could be a huge player for Madrid, because he plays in this, and Llorente, Lopetegui knows him really well, so like he knows that Marcos Llorente really doesn't play well in the double pivot, so he's been actually putting him in that Busquets role, which is how he thrives, and so you've seen him in the ICC, which, right, not great evidence of how he's going to do it necessarily, but he's been playing that single pivot role where he's been dropping into really deep, collecting the ball, playing defense as one of the, you know, basically another center back, and then conducting the transition, which is exactly the role he was playing before he got relegated to a double pivot role with Zidane. And I would love to see him step up into that role this season for Madrid as maybe a rotational play with Casemiro. And if he really can do that, then Madrid has that position on lock for the next, you know, 7 years or so, because he really is the real deal. But he needs to be given the he needs to be played in the position that allows him to thrive. Otherwise, he's gonna be another kind of mediocre center midfield type.
Yeah, I just felt like last year was so wasted for him, and he was so good on loan at Alaves in 16-17. He was incredible that year, one of the best midfielders in La Liga, and just Zidane didn't turn to him really at all last year. So he's the guy who could really step into that midfield and make a huge difference.
Yeah, exactly.
What did you think of Kovacic going on loan before we get to our scoreline predictions?
Ooh, yeah. Interesting call. And I thought it was a great piece of business, given that it was a terrible situation for Madrid, because it was clear they wanted him to stick around, but he felt like he had to go. And instead of selling him outright, they lent him, which is, you know, means they keep his contract through the end of it, which is great, because at least I thought then he could come back and kind of be the one of the centerpieces of the post Modric era, which is even sad to kind of talk about at all. but then he posted this thing on Instagram, I think it was, where he was just like this heartfelt goodbye, and everyone was like, but they still have your contract on loan.
Right, like, that was confusing. So, like, yeah, why are you saying goodbye, bro? It's a loan with no option to buy.
You're coming back. Like, I don't know what's going on. But I was thinking, like, I guess, like, after, you know, let's say, like, after my going away to college or whatever, like, I know I'm coming home for the summer. So, like, I don't know. Maybe you still say goodbye. It feels really aggressive and strange.
Yeah.
I get him wishing everyone well, but not, like, one chapter of my life is closed now. It's like, all right, well, calm down.
it's 9 months. You'll be back next year. Just let's chill.
I do think Chelsea's midfield is actually quite cool now. It's a fascinating one with Jorginho, Kante, and Kovacic.
Yeah, that's a really, really good midfield.
Well, the faster they stop starting Ross Barkley, the better for them.
Right. So. All right, fellas, scoreline predictions. Let's do it. Rob, you're up first.
3-1. Atletico.
3-1. All right. I like it. Appropriately aggressive.
I think it's going to be 1-1 after 90, and then it'll be sort of a coin flip as who wins. I think it might even go to penalties.
I've got 1-1 and Atletico win on penalties. A measure of revenge for 2016.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense to me. It would be also amazing, like really fascinating, if it was 1-1 and then it was Courtois as Madrid goalie to do the penalty shootout. That'd be a fascinating one too. That's almost too good in terms of the narrative.
Oh, that'd be just fantastic, Gabe. That would be just amazing, wouldn't it?
That would be pure narrative right there.
Oh yeah, so much banter, so little time. I think Atletico are still pretty rusty as their final International Champions Cup fixture gets Inter showed, especially in attack. Simeone said as much after the match that we still have some things to work out, some things to we got to feel out. A lot of new signings to come in this summer, and Atletico are going to change the system, and it's still a work in progress, and Real Madrid is still a work in progress as well. So there could be some points in this game where it's really cagey and be a little boring, but it'll be intense. It's a Madrid derby in the Super Cup.
In Estonia, though.
In a 10,000 seat stadium. It's going to be amazing.
The atmosphere is going to be pumping. I'm thrilled for it.
Well, fellas, anything else?
I do have one thing I want to say. Yeah. I don't know if you all know, but the Cristiano Ronaldo documentary is now on Netflix, so I'm probably going to watch that, and I'll probably talk about it, which is hilarious. I can't really describe how funny I think that is.
I did see that on there today, actually. I looked in, I was like, oh, that could be... Oh, no, I'm not going to be watching that.
give us your review when you're done watching it.
I will.
We'll read the Reader's Digest version.
Yes, please.
All right, fellas. Anything y'all want to plug before we sign off?
Sure. Check out my shows. I'm doing... I do the Managing Madrid show, obviously. But if you're listening to this, you're probably not going to want to listen to the Managing Real Madrid podcast. but I do another show, which is more like just trying to cover the entire world of the sport with a little bit of kind of two people getting into and trying to get into MLS, which is sort of our other show is called Let's Fix Football. And that's a very just kind of fun, riffy show where we just sorry, kind of like this, actually, this discussion. So check that out. That's all I got to say.
Yes, Gabe is awesome. Follow him on Twitter, at L. Ezra. Follow Rob on Twitter, at RWalk03. Follow me on Twitter, at JB Barron. You can follow our frenemies at Managing Madrid, at Managing Madrid. Follow Into the Calderon, at Into the Calderon. Like ITC on Facebook, at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. Subscribe and listen to Colt Gennaro Chat on your favorite podcasting platform. That includes Apple Podcasts. Make sure to leave a rating and a review. Become a Colt Gennaro Chat amigo from as little as $3 a month. Patreon.com/ColtGenneroChat. We will be back after the Super Cup, hopefully discussing an Atletico victory. Until then, adios.